Like to add my welcome to that which has already been expressed to you. We count it a privilege to gather together with you this morning here at Calvary Chapel. You can't help but love these children's mornings when they come in and we get to see them and all. And what a lesson. We've already received some good lessons and some time of worship and much for us, much on the plate this morning. Well, we've come to that time to study God's Word together, so let's dive in. We're going through the book of Matthew, as has been pointed out. We're in chapter 15 this morning. So I invite you, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. If you're in need of a Bible, just raise your hand. These ushers want to make sure you have a Bible. They'll be glad to pass it over to you. If you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours. For all of us, let's turn now to Matthew 15. Spring is arriving. Like Tim says, can't believe the time changes upon us. And by the end of this month, we'll have celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Easter is coming up fast. And so, a great way to start the month off would be to gather this Wednesday night to celebrate and remember what it's all about. I invite you, would you consider please coming out and just joining with us? We're going to have a time of communion and afterglow and prayer and praise and worship, and that'll be this Wednesday night. And very, very important to get together and celebrate and remember that which has changed everything for us. Matthew 15 is where we're at this morning. Are you ready? Uh-oh, I better try that one again. Are we ready? Yeah. All right, good. Caught you off guard, didn't I? You know, let me mention this before we get into our text here this morning. As I was going through this week, I was really debating about, praying about, considering two different messages. Couldn't quite discern which one I'm supposed to share about, which one I'm supposed to focus in on. I was even talking to Kathy about it, you know, kind of pulled between two different messages. Lord, which of these two would you have me share this Sunday? Well, I'd like to let you know something. It was neither. But as the week unfolded, as we came close to this morning, and may I say this is indeed fresh out of the oven, fresh bread, this is what God has drawn us to focus on. Therefore, I have, it's His Word, and I know that He has something for us in it. We're going to jump in, actually, verse 7, Matthew 15, verse 7. Then we'll come back later and speak some more around it. But let's just go to a couple focus verses. Matthew 15, verse 7. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We have seen now in our journey in Matthew that the opposition by the religious leaders has increased. By this point, they have committed themselves to his destruction. And as part of that opposition, here we have before us this morning part of the confrontation, a particular confrontation between these religious leaders and Jesus. And really, it's throughout this section because indeed the persecution all is gaining momentum. And I want us to notice the trend. We've just read here a little bit that we're going to focus on, part of an interaction with them. But now go to chapter 16, verses 5 and 6. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus says to take heed and beware of something, how important is it that we do just that? Beware of what? He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's been interacting with them. This morning, we have two particular occasions of that. And coming out of those interactions, he turns and he says to his followers, be really careful about something. Be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What is leaven? And why is it a type of what we should beware of? There's a word that Jesus uses in both of these interactions with the religious leaders, in both of these sections we just looked at. There's a word that he uses that captures this idea of leaven and all. We saw it back in chapter 15, verse 7, that first thing I read when Jesus says, hypocrites. And then in chapter 16, in verse 3, right in the middle, as he's dealing with them, he says it again to them, hypocrites. This morning, I am drawn to have us all consider what would draw such strong, harsh words from him who came to save us. Why would Jesus say this? And I want us to hear clearly his warning. Therefore, I've titled our time this morning based on verse 6 of chapter 16. I've called our time, Take Heed and Beware. Let's pray. Father, as we gather this morning, thank you. Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for this time with the children. Thank you for what you've already shown us and spoken to us about. Lord, now as we come to this time in your word, these hearts of ours, we lift them to you. You know us inside out. You love us dearly, but you set a warning before us. You set a clear path that we are to take heed of. Lord, help us. Speak now, we pray. Help us to not be numbered amongst those who'd be called hypocrites, but instead, Lord, help us be those who you right now have the true freedom to work in and through us. Lord, we offer us to you, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a hypocrite? To answer that, let's consider each section here in some general terms. Go back to chapter 15. We can't look at all the points from the text. There's much here, but we're going to glean some points that I believe will be edifying and profitable for us. Chapter 15 says, Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus. What this tells us is this is a delegation from headquarters, the religious headquarters, if you will. These aren't local religious leaders, but they have come now from Jerusalem. Most commentators agree they've probably been sent as a delegation from the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were that group of leaders, the religious leaders of the nation. And it says now the scribes and Pharisees come to Jesus. Verse 2. They say to him, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, Whoever says to his father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you've made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Chapter 15 starts with the scribes and Pharisees challenging Jesus about the disciples transgressing in a particular matter. And what is it? It actually says, Why do they transgress? Notice that, the tradition of the elders. This is about tradition, about ritual, about things they've come up with that, as Jesus points out, is not from God. But as religious leaders, they had set it forward that it was. The disciples here, in what they're doing, see, this isn't about a hygienic issue. When they come and they say, How come they're not washing their hands before they eat bread? It's not a hygiene issue. What it's referring to is this ritual hand washing that they had come up with. In Mark's account of this same interaction, he goes on to point out how the religious leaders had come up with all these ways that you ritualistically were to wash your hands and the plates and all the cups and go through all this rigmarole. Not hygienically was the goal, but it was somehow they thought by doing this you would please God. They'd come up with it and decided that in keeping it, they were pleasing God about it all. But Jesus turns the tables on them. He shows how they were using their traditions to actually circumvent what God had commanded. Notice his question to them. Why do you violate the word of God with your tradition? They say, Why do they break their traditions? They say it. It's just tradition of the elders. He goes, Why do you violate God's word through your traditions? Then he gives the reference there in chapter 15, starting in verse 7 through 9 of Isaiah 29. But now notice the description of them that brought this declaration that they are hypocrites. Verse 7, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, notice, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's always about the heart. If you come here often, you know I hammer on that one. It's got to be about the heart or it's nothing. It's vain. He came to deal with you, your actual core being, your will, your choice, that place from which you make all your choices. Your heart is his focus. And that's what he's addressing here. And he says, and notice this, oh, they draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. You can honor with lips, and yet, what's he say? But have a heart far from me. And that profits you nothing. He finds great fault in that. You can sing the songs on Sunday morning. We can say the right thing. See, it sounds good. It says, their mouth is near. Their lips are honoring. Sounds good. But their heart is far from me. And he goes on to say, and because in vain they worship me. Why? Because they were teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They taught things that they had come up with as if God had said it. And then held people to it as if you better do this. Jesus uses this whole example of the father and mother and honoring mother and father and all to point out just how they had done that. See, God has said you to honor your mother and father. It's called the first commandment with promise. But they had come up with, the religious leaders, this idea that, well, when your mother and father need help and they come to ask for some help or something, just tell them that it's korban. Mark uses that word in his gospel. Tell them, oh, well, I've committed that to God already. And therefore, you won't have to help your parents because you've already given that to God. And he says, you are violating God's word in doing that. That is wrong what you've come. Your tradition, you put your tradition over what God has commanded you to do. Traditions and rituals are poison to a true relationship with God. For they allow people to go through, now hear this, traditions and rituals that people come up with allow people to go through the motions without having a heart experience. You can be all about the outer. I looked good, sounded good, came to church, dressed right. But the whole heart is left out of it. So God is warning us about that here. They were actually using their traditions as excuses to not obey God. Well, it's interesting. I won't read it all, but he goes on to point out how that takes place. See, verses 10 through 20, he begins to talk about something. He says, you're so upset because they're not doing this ritual hand-washing thing that you came up with because somehow you think that defiles people. But he goes on to say, it's not what goes into you that defiles you. It just goes through the system, he says. It's what comes out of your mouth and out of your life. Why? Because the mouth, he says, starts in the heart. And he says it's from the heart that murders and adulteries, fornications, false witnesses, blasphemies. He goes on to say all that. They start in here. It's not the outside in. It's the inside out. And the things you do and say show your heart. It's not the other guy's fault. It's the inside out, he's saying. Now, we have to understand something. That would have rattled their cage big time. We don't really relate to this. We understand it intellectually, but we can't. See, they had been brought up in all the kosher things, and you have to do this, you can't do that. And they had put, meaning the religious leaders, had put all these rules and regulations and traditions and rituals on it. And since they're the religious leaders, the people are saying, that must be what God wants. And Jesus comes out and goes, by the way, you got it all wrong. It's not about any of that. And that one just went, what? He said, you think it's about from the outside in. He said, it's not. It's the inside out. And what you do shows your heart, he says. Those are the things that defile the heart. Because the mouth reveals what's going on inside. But I noticed something. After that interaction with them, the text moves on. There's the healing of a Canaanite woman's daughter. And then next, the end of that chapter 15, there's the feeding of the 4,000 plus. But now we come to what we call chapter 16. Remember, the original writings are just one long writing. There's not chapter and verse. That was added later for us. But the story's going on now. And I want us to see these two interactions. I'm coupling them together. The interaction with the Pharisees and all in chapter 15. And now another interaction at the beginning of chapter 16. Look at it. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came. Now again, these would be two people, these groups were not at all alike. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives. Their very word meant that they were, their name means they're separated. And they believed they were obeying God, following the commands. We're the religious leaders. We're the separated ones. And they had all these rules and regulations they'd come up with to do that. And they made it part of the Sanhedrin, again, the religious leaders. But there also was a group who were part of that called the Sadducees. The Sadducees are exactly the opposite. They had taken all the divine, the supernatural out of God. They had watered down the word. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the... A lot of that stuff. That's what made them sad, you see. No, anyway. I didn't do that first service. I tried it this time. It's okay. Pharisees. So it's those who are just... Wait, they're two extremes. They would never be together except when they have a common enemy. Like someone after first service said, well, there's that old saying, an enemy of my enemy. How do you put it? How's that one go? Anyway, the point is, we might be enemies, but all of a sudden we're friends because we have a common enemy. That's the idea. And Jesus is their common enemy. So here they come, and they test him. They're not sincere. And they ask that he would show them a sign from heaven. See, it's not enough that you're healing and touching and blind can see. You're feeding thousands of people with a little bit of bread and fish. It's not enough. Show us another one. Show us another sign. Verse 2. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky. You can tell the weather. You see a cloud. Okay, rain's coming. But you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. That means his resurrection. The sign you're going to see, says, when I die and rise again. And he left them and departed. Interesting interaction. But now, verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. So after this interaction, they head off across the lake again. They arrive at the other side of the lake. But as they do, you can almost picture Jesus. He just left this interaction with these religious leaders. And there was the one earlier in chapter 15 he just had. And you can almost picture him riding along in the boat, thinking about those interactions and their potential damaging effect upon his followers. He loves his followers. And he's concerned for them. He realizes the impact of the influence of these Pharisees and Sadducees could have on the disciples. And so he gets to the other side, and look at verse 6. He says, then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He is so concerned about their influence. Are you? Are you on guard, really, for the influences of our culture and the false teaching and the watering of his word and all the things that go on? Oh, no big deal. It's okay. Are you aware of the influence it can have on us and our families and all? But they don't get it. Look at verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves saying, oh man, it's because we forgot bread. See, it said a minute ago, they didn't take bread. They forgot to bring some bread with them. And when he says, beware of this leaven, they go, oh no, it's because we've taken no bread. Verse 8, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourself because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's the warning. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What is that? Here we have the clear description of what Jesus is warning them and us of. He says, it's the doctrines of some of your translations, probably either say, or if you have a study Bible, it's off in the margin, but it translates that word doctrines also as what? The teachings. Beware of the teaching, the doctrines, these commands and all that they're putting forward. Beware of the hypocrisy of both the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Be it the ritualism and the traditionalism of the Pharisees, or the rationalism that takes away all the supernatural, the divinity and all, it takes away from and rejects God's word of the Sadducees. Beware of both things, he says. And he brings it, he focuses on the leavening influence. He's warning them of the danger of the leavening effect of both of those groups, both of that teaching, both those things that are out there even today. Beware of what that will do, he says, to those who would follow Jesus. It was a danger then, it's still a danger today. Leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees, be it traditionalism, legalism, externals, discounting the word, whatever form it takes. Whether it's to add to the word or take from the word, it is a great danger. Be careful of it, he says. See, both times it draws from Jesus the declaration that these groups, these people, are hypocrites. They are play actors. They're wearing a mask. They're not what they appear to be. Would you recognize them? When they give you counsel from a book or television, when it's someone else you're talking to, would you recognize them? By definition, you can't tell. Like he says, they sound good, look good, but it's a hypocrite. It's play acting. It's not real. See, what is a hypocrite? We all know what a hypocrite is. It's the other guy. Right? It's the other guy. They're the one. Can you believe that? They say they follow the Lord, but look, and on, you know. But let's be open to God just speaking to us this morning about it. What does the text tell us? Go back to chapter 15. I know we're going between the two, but I want to use these two interactions. Chapter 15, verse 7, hypocrites. Well, why does he say that? How does Jesus define it here? He quotes Isaiah, and he points out, as we said, verse 8. What? Near mouth, honoring lips, but their heart is far from me. So what's he saying? Sound good, look good, act good, appear right on the outside, but their heart is far from him. A hypocrite is not the same on the outside, it is on the inside. He puts on a front. He's all about the externals. That's the hypocrite. And it goes on to say, verse 9, they worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And then you add to it chapter 16, verse 3, where he once again says hypocrites. Why are they being hypocrites in that next interaction in chapter 16? Why? He says, because you guys do, you can tell, okay, sky's really red in the morning, uh-oh, storm's coming. But you can't discern the times. In other words, you're going with your natural reasoning. You're going with human thinking. Oh, you can tell the weather, but you have no discernment. The Messiah is here and you don't even recognize him. Tim so ably pointed out with the kids. Only Jesus fulfilled that. And Matthew's pointing out how Jesus drives that home. He is the King. He is the Messiah. But they're missing it. They have no discernment. They have no wisdom in all this. Not spiritual wisdom. So he points that out. And thus he says what he does. When he gets to verse 12, beware of the doctrines. That's the leaven, the doctrines, the teachings of those on both camps. And it's leaven. If allowed in, it will permeate you until you are like it. Beware of hypocrisy. Jesus warns disciples of the danger of allowing religion to become an outward thing that isn't real on the inside. What brought you today here? Were you heart hungry? Or are you just coming because that's what you do on Sunday mornings? had devotional times, drifted from really wanting to spend the day, starting the day with the Lord, to, oh, well, I got to crank out my time here. See, it can become that way. It's an important, important warning for the religious leaders of Jesus' day. It was all an act. It's all about the outside, all about looking good. Jesus' followers were to be concerned with the inside. They were to be concerned with lasting changes in the heart. Pastor Chuck Smith said this, quote, "Hypocrisy has probably done more damage to the church throughout history than any other sin." And he says, so Jesus was warning his disciples to avoid hypocrisy, to be careful of putting on an act, pretending to be very religious when it wasn't there inside. Unquote. If there were no danger, there would be no need for warning. So don't dismiss this. Don't take it lightly. There is the danger of the leaven of culture, of influence, of different perspectives out there, of interpretations that are misinterpretations. It's just like putting yeast or leaven in that little in the dough. It begins to work its way through the dough until the entire loaf is permeated. And that's what can happen. As we start saying, well, it sounds good, looks good. Be Bereans and always check out what you hear. And don't buy into it just because somebody works a verse into it. Must be scriptural. They used a verse. You know, they misused it. And they totally went off on a tangent. But can you see it? Can you discern it? Can we tell it? That's the warning. Beware of these doctrines that are not of God. They are like a leaven. And again, it creeps in and it permeates everything. And it only takes a pinch until everything becomes infected. Well, now the challenge turns to us this morning. Is our walk with God of the heart? Is our relationship with God real? You're not here to impress one another. We're not here to convince you or you me. We all are sinners saved by grace if you've received Christ. And we need that ongoing heart work because we need an ongoing heart relationship. And that's what he wants. And he's lovingly warning us, be careful of that, which will get in the way and substitute and rip you off in that way. Is our relationship with God, our walk with God from the heart? Is there any danger that in any area of your life you've slipped into outer behavior rather than inner work? So I'd ask you, think about a moment. How about at home? When we leave this building, are we different out there than here? Are we different at home? Are we different at work? What would our coworkers and our bosses say about us in that way? Do we match? Are we people of integrity? Are we people that our hearts are being reflected truly in a good way by what we do and say and all? And they do line up. They do match and they're tracking with God. On Family Sunday, like today is, it seems to me a good question to ask. What would our children say about us in this regard? Would they call us hypocrites and be accurate for doing so? Oh, we wouldn't like to hear it. We'd call them on it. Don't you dare say that. But would they be right? What conclusions are our kids coming up with when they see how we speak on the way home? At home when we're frustrated. When they see the things we watch on television, the things we buy with our money, the choices we make, the way we treat our mates, on and on, would the children have to say, would they be right? That doesn't match what you say. What would our mates say in asking that question? Jesus reserved his harshest words for who? The hypocrites. The Pharisees and Sadducees. And why? Now listen, not because they were sincere, but were struggling. That's not the one. If we're all in process, no one here has arrived. That's not what earns this description of them. It's because their hearts had no hunger for him. It wasn't like, say, Lord, help me, I want to, but I'm not making it, but I want to. They thought they'd arrived. They had a lock on it, they thought. We know. But their hearts were far from him. They didn't want to see. What's the old saying? None are so blind as those who won't see. They were being hypocrites. It's interesting. In the chapter 15 interaction, after he got through dealing with them, he tells the others, he goes, you know, just let them alone. Let these Pharisees all alone. That's the blind leading the blind. They're all going to wind up in a ditch. And in interaction 16, after he deals with them, he says this, he leaves them and departs. He says, I'm through. Some people just won't hear. They just won't change. But you better be careful about them. Be aware of them, he says. They're hypocrites. Now again, be careful with all this. Hypocrisy is not referring to when we, in our honest struggles that we all experience. Now people out there will do that to us. You call yourself a Christian. Look how you parked your car. You know, you upset them. You know, or you know, yeah, we're not perfect. If you're perfect, please come introduce yourself to me later. Because I never met a perfect person, and you're not the first. One perfect Jesus. If you think you're perfect, I've got some questions for you. But the point is, of course, you're under construction. But do you want to grow? Is your heart hungry for holiness? Do you ache in your lack of perfection? He doesn't nail those that are in that place. It's those who think, I've arrived, I've got it licked, I'm in charge. Those are the ones he's going for. Notice, why don't the disciples get called hypocrites? He tells them in chapter 16, he calls them in verse 8, oh, you have little faith. They only got a little bit of faith. Verse 9, do you not yet understand? They only got a little bit of understanding. But a little bit of understanding, a little bit of faith, did it get them called hypocrites? Why? Because he knew their hearts. He knows your heart's mine. Yeah, you're under construction here. You struggle at times, but I know your motive. I know your heart. I know you want to. I know you want to grow. I know you're hungry for me. See, if you're under construction, that's not the issue. Well, I fall short. But why? And what's it about? And are you settling for it? What's it say about your heart? Notice this. To the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus had dealt much differently with them than he did with the disciples who simply didn't understand but wanted to. That's a whole different thing. To the one group, he strongly showed their error, and then he was done with them. But of the disciples who missed the point but wanted to get it, he gently led them into understanding. And he said to them as part of that, be careful that you don't let those whose hearts are far from me influence you. You keep hungering for more. You keep staying surrendered. What's he say? Take heed and beware of them. Beware of those who would add or take away from the word, he says. Beware of those who tell you that you need to do something that it's not a command of God, but they act like it is. Beware of those who put tradition on you and would place it above God's word. Beware of those who would take away the supernatural, the divinity from God and his word. Beware of those who water down the word. Oh, that never happened. And, oh, God never would do that. And, see, we hear that so much today, but beware. Beware of those who denigrate God and the word. Beware of those who scoff at the word. We see it all the time, and people like to somehow trot out some verse, but then use it weird. You'll see it in culture all the time and in writing. Well, you know, the Bible says, and then they totally twist it and take it somewhere else it was never meant to say. Take Jesus as he reveals himself, or don't take him, but don't redefine him. Don't act like he says, well, that's okay. Oh, Jesus had a loving heart. He would never say something's wrong. He would never say you shouldn't do that. Yes, he would, because he loves us that much, and he knows that way is destructive. But people think, oh, Jesus wouldn't call us on it. And they redefine him and say what he's like, what they think he's like, when it's not what he's revealed himself at all. Beware of those. It says those teachings are yeast to the soul. They will permeate you and destroy you, rip you off. It'll spread its destructive influence on you and those around you. In all of this, Jesus is condemning outward religion and is endorsing heart relationship. Get it about the heart. Keep it about the heart is the call. And yes, then the outward will display it, but they'll be in sync. There'll be that outer change that reflects the inner work. But if you drift into the outer without the inner, danger. True religion, true relationship is always about the heart, the will, the seat of the real person. And that's where relationship is based, and that's what it has to be based, or it is false, he says. If your heart's far from me, then all everything else is in vain. It's empty. It'll profit you nothing. And thus the warning, beware. Beware of just being about the outer, the appearance, going through the motions. So what's the word this morning? To the hypocrite? To the one who recognizes. Hypocrite simply means you're not being the same outward. You're not the same outward as inward. There's a mask. You're pretending. You're acting like it's okay. But inside there's self and there's all those things contrary to God. And what's the message? It's a good message. Hard. Flesh hates it. But it's thank God it's available. Turn around. It's called repent. Surrender that heart afresh and anew. Recognize what's happened, that ritual's got in the way, traditionalism's got in the way. And surrender afresh and anew is the call. Pray, God created me a clean heart. And quit giving into the culture and the definitions and being so susceptible to that stuff that's out there. Because what is the word to the disciple, the one who is a follower of Christ, the one who received Christ as Savior? What's his word to that person? Take heed and beware. How much more loving and direct can he be? As a parent, you know sometimes you have to say, stay out of the street. You just have to. That's love in action. Don't put your finger in the socket. Take heed and beware of the influences of those Pharisees and those Sadducees, those cultural influences, those false teachings, those false interpretations. Be on guard. Discern them. Don't fall for them. It's in love he's saying all this. Beware of the following of tradition rather than God's word. Beware of liberalism that rejects God's word. I know we're bombarded with it. I know we're going through. And you know what? It's going to get worse. You see skies getting red. We see the times. We know where things are going. There might be times when it swings in a godly swing somewhat. But overall, we see a culture going crazy. We see a world like a spinning top going out of balance. And while it shocks us, it shouldn't, don't be surprised. We probably see nothing yet. It's going to get bad. Don't buy into it. And they use so many things, and they start saying, you're the one that's intolerant. You're very sad. Very sad. Beware of those whose mouth and lips sound right, but their hearts are far from him. And that's what he's warning us here. Discern when it's a teaching as doctrine, something that's a commandment of man. So the remedy in all this, get our hearts straight. Guard our hearts from all those influences. Give our hearts to him. 24/7. No, you won't arrive, but do you hunger to? Do you want to be home? Do you hunger for holiness? Here's some clear indications and clear warnings. Remember, Jesus warns because he loves us. He loves you. In all we do, make sure you're here. Jesus' loving concern and warning. What's he say? Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's going to invite the worship team up. They're going to come wrap us up this morning. We've covered a lot of ground. Some good stuff, some important stuff. Hear it from God's heart. He wants your heart. And don't let anybody else have it. And don't fall prey to that leavening influence of false teaching, of liberalism, of things that God never said being presented like they were. Be aware that culture is going to bombard you and everything else. If you're in need of prayer this morning, there'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. They would count it a privilege to pray with you. You got to receive Christ as Savior. If you're going to see heaven, you're going to be forgiven. You got to start there. If you haven't done it, go in there and tell them. Let them talk to you about it and get some prayer. Are you a believer, but you recognize, you know what, I've drifted in some areas. I've gotten into habit. I've gotten into the form without the substance. Go get prayer for it. But for all of us, thank God he loves us like this and warns us. Now he says, go out and let me equip you and strengthen you and just walk in my strength and my calling. Be about him and be careful. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's stand. May you go out and stay right in that exact place that indeed you'll experience that inner heart relationship. And truly may we be about sincerity and not falsehood in this walk with him. Let him meet you where you are and just keep walking with him. So it's my privilege just to pronounce grace. Be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. You are good. You're awesome. And as we head out now, these hearts, Lord, these hearts, take them. Guard them. Let us not fall prey to the influences, the attacks, the leaven all around us, but keep us pure before you, hungry for you, surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.